This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Top of the morning and welcome in Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan on this Tuesday. We much appreciate you making the show part of your morning. You know, we were all queued up and ready to go with a bunch of Redskins news from yesterday, including Quentin Dunbar traded for just a fifth-round pick, Kyle Allen acquired for what seems like a lot in the form of that same fifth-round pick, and Monte Nicholson released. But, Danny, before we get into any of those things, literally 2 minutes ago at 10:01 this morning, Trent Williams' agent sent a statement to Adam Schefter of ESPN that I want to read to you. What a crazy last 24 hours it's been for the Redskins, huh?
Yeah, business is a booming. It's a house cleaning type environment, right? Quentin Dunbar agitates for a couple weeks. I don't like the way he did it. Sounds like a lot of teams didn't either. The value was only a fifth round pick for a guy that is probably worth more than that, if I'm honest. But this was more about getting him out of there. And now I see a statement from Trent Williams that I'm reading in real time as you brought it to my attention here only moments ago.
So here is the statement, and the agent for Trent Williams is Vincent Taylor. He does not have a ton of major clients outside of Williams. You know, prior to getting Trent Williams, he's helped him to grow his base, obviously, in the league when you're with a perennial Pro Bowler. But he's kind of handled this entire situation curiously. Regardless, here's the statement from the agent. The relationship between the Redskins and Trent Williams has reached a point where it's in the best interest that the Redskins trade or release him. Despite its knowledge of the irreconcilable differences, Washington was unable or unwilling to negotiate a trade of Williams. He went on to say that throughout the process, Williams has maintained his silence and not spoken negatively about the team, nor has he pursued potential legal actions. This seems to be a successful strategy. Seems not to be a successful strategy. Players who are outwardly critical of the team seem to get traded. Although Trent Williams will always love and respect Dan Snyder, his teammates, and the Washington Redskins fans, he wants to be traded or released. It's time for the organization to act in a manner that is in both Williams and the team's best interest. So here's what happened, I think. Williams has kind of been very quiet. Now, he has also not come out and said anything to help his situation or done anything to build a bridge with the Washington Redskins. But he didn't pull a Quentin Dunbar where he's tweeting every few hours about how unhappy he is or the money that he wants or that time that the team, according to Williams, misdiagnosed a cancerous tumor in his head. He hasn't bashed them publicly. While Quentin Dunbar started doing that, and within weeks, they moved on from him. And I think Trent Williams and his agent saw that and said, well, if that's what it takes, we're sending out a statement to ESPN and NFL Network tomorrow. And that statement opened the relationship between the Redskins and Williams has reached a point where it's in the best interest the Redskins trade or release him. So they're going scorched earth here. They see that Ron Rivera and the staff didn't like what Dunbar was doing, and it resulted in him being dealt. And they're trying to follow suit now with their client, Trent Williams.
This is how it reads to me. The Redskins can't get good value for me. This is me as sort of Trent Williams in my camp. The Redskins can't get a good deal. They're not just going to give me away, so I'm going to apply pressure so they just give me away because I want out of here. This is so bad. This is really, really bad. And I'm not blaming anybody here for this. We know who's to blame. It rhymes with Schmoo Schmallin, and he's long gone. But this is a case in point where, you know, we don't know what any, if you start telling me what some of the terms are as Trent Williams' agent right here, Jeeps, meaning we went and got a second rounder from fill in the team from a team that's out there, and the Redskins wouldn't call us back. Okay, this sounds to me like we're not getting the offers because we've already leaked a contract extension demand, a whole bunch of things that are, you know, we don't have our ducks in a row, so the value isn't there. The Redskins won't just simply give this guy away, and we want out of here. We're at an impasse, so we're going to try to apply some pressure. This is such a toxic, horrible, bizarre situation that has now gone on for well over a year. It's ridiculous that it's still here. How does any of this help the Redskins win football games? What a disaster this is.
Yeah, I don't really know any situation that would be a workable outcome for either party here that doesn't result with Trent Williams being traded. And by the way, last night, Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Cleveland Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, with her sources with the organization in Cleveland, said that there's still very much the possibility that the Browns could acquire Trent Williams via trade. So maybe they'd be the leader in the clubhouse. There are other teams like the Chargers before they made some signings on their offensive line that had checked in on Williams, from what I was told from time to time. The Seahawks at one point were heavily involved and invested in just finding out what was what with Trent. But that having been said, I'm with you. Last year was the time to trade him. You might have been able to get a first-round pick. You definitely could have gotten a second-round pick. The Redskins elected not to make that deal, and the guy who did that, Bruce Allen, no longer has a job. Not for that reason, but not for that reason. I mean, he made a lot of mistakes over the years, and that was one of them, and maybe looking back, the most egregious, the most preposterous, and the most outrageous of all of the ridiculously stupid and incompetent things that he did. They've got to trade Trent Williams, there's no doubt. And now the agent for Williams, Vince Taylor, is coming out and trying to make sure that that happens by getting this statement out there after seeing what happened with Dunbar. Here's the only problem with that, Danny. They trade Quentin Dunbar, and we can get into the specifics of Dunbar and Kyle Allen and Monte Nicholson, all the news of yesterday, in just a few minutes. But less than 48 hours after, someone I talked to, very much involved in the process, said that the Redskins' plan with him was not to get 50 cents on the dollar. They knew he was their cornerback one. They knew how talented he was. They didn't want to just trade him for nothing. And what changed, I guess, was that Ron Rivera just decided, I'm done with this.
Enough.
I'm tired of
this
guy tweeting. I'm annoyed by this player who won't talk to me, by the way. We had one phone call. He's refusing to sit down and meet with me. I've done nothing to this guy. He's mad at the last regime, not my regime. I'm good on this situation. What's the best offer we got right now? Well, Ron, it's only a fifth rounder. Good. Get me the damn fifth rounder and tell him to get on the first plane out of here. And that's basically how that worked yesterday. I don't agree with that per se, but I think that based on what I was told, that's kind of what went down.
I don't think
you do that with Trent Williams, though. You know, you can do that with Quentin Dunbar. All due respect to a guy who was their cornerback one, who was the best player on the team at his position. He's an oft-injured, okay, really good story. Former wide receiver at Florida, turned into a cornerback who's become decent. But there's about 17 Quentin Dunbar jerseys at FedEx Field, if that. And 9 of them belong to his family members. Trent Williams is a guy whose name was on its way to being in the Ring of Fame, who might have been on his way before last year to being in the Hall of Fame, who makes the Pro Bowl every single year. You trade a Jag who's annoying you because he's a Jag who's annoying you. You don't trade Trent Williams because he's annoying you unless you can get something valuable back. And that's the problem I think that Vince Taylor might have here. Yes, common sense says the Redskins should just wash their hands of Williams and move on from this ridiculously long-winded conversation now that never ends.
It never
ends. But Danny, you can't just give him up for a fifth-round pick like you did Quentin Dunbar.
Right.
He's Trent Williams.
Now, before this is Bruce Allen's fault. I want to be very, very clear about this. Before now, this was Bruce Allen's fault. I'm not talking about the medical stuff and who's to blame for what. Everybody's got some blame. Nobody's hands are clean. I'm talking about the fact that Trent Williams is still on the roster. Right? That's a Bruce Allen problem. That was his fault. That was spiteful. That was dumb. That was short-sighted, myopic, mean-spirited, the whole nine yards. Screw Bruce Allen. Now, this is Trent Williams' fault. This part right here, not the first part that he's still on the roster, the fact that he's here now, and here's why. If Trent Williams hadn't already, and his camp hadn't already said, we'd like an outrageous amount of money, a huge amount of years for a guy that's been injured, that's had a bunch of issues, where he's missed games for multiple reasons, whether it's suspension or otherwise, we need an enormous contract upon arrival. We need an enormous contract here. If this was simply get me out of Washington, we'll figure the rest out later, the Redskins would already have their second-round pick, and this would be done, and they could wash their hands of this thing. The fact that huge demands have been leaked has made teams, rightfully so, by the way, balk at this. They are trick-balking at this, and correctly, because I don't know that I want to be in this business. Everyone knows that he can play, but nobody's really sure that they're going to give up a pick and sign him for an outrageous amount of money. That lowers the pick. That lowers the value. It only makes sense that it would lower the value. We're here now because Trent wants some sort of perfect, golden parachute to go to a great team, have a huge contract, and be patted on the back all the time and be treated like a star. I'm sorry, that ship may have sailed given what happened last year. The new reality is something else. This camp hasn't adjusted to that. I just saw a tweet moments ago that I retweeted here from Ian Rappaport saying how odd this is because the Redskins are actively negotiating, actively trying to find a trade partner for him. I'm sorry it's not working out perfectly for you. I'm sorry about that. Again, previous regime, Bruce Allen, he sucks. We know that. Currently, this is on you, Trent, and the agent. I believe Vincent Taylor is the guy's name that you mentioned. This is now a situation you guys have created. The Redskins should not be bullied, should not be pressured into doing anything other than trying to get the best possible value for Trent Williams, which is lower than it would have been a year ago, lower than when you and me were screaming about this in training camp, 100% correctly, by the way. This little shebangus that we're in now, the latest part of this, is on Trent Williams' camp. You need to be patient. I don't need these kinds of statements from you. You sit on the side. You wait for us to get the phone call with the amount of money and dollars and trade picks and assets and players that is satisfactory to us, and then we'll let you know. Until then, holster these statements, please, because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think he should be traded, for the record. And I want to end this desperately.
Yep.
I think he will be traded ultimately, for the record. I mean, if you're just going to give up Quentin Dunbar for a bag of footballs and a granola bar, it would be hard for me to sit here this morning and say there's no way they trade Trent Williams, having seen what they did yesterday with Dunbar, who was unhappy. Having said that, the Redskins do not have to trade him. The new CBA gives them all of the leverage, and Williams basically no leverage. He's not sitting out a full season again. It's just not happening. So if they play hardball with Chris Matthews and they say, show up, dude, we'll see you at training camp, he doesn't have a leg to stand on here. Now, you could say the same thing about Dunbar, and they just decided to move on and to rid themselves of that headache. The difference is, again, in juxtaposing the two players, Dunbar, pretty good. Trent Williams, elite, special, unique, one of the few guys like him at his position. But Trent, if you really want to be traded, and Vincent Taylor to the agent, I say this, if you really want your client traded, you can help this to happen. Lower your contract demands. The reason that teams are not making this trade right now with the Redskins is because you're asking for an egregious amount of money. If you weren't asking for $20 million a year and you would negotiate with, say, the Browns at something around $16 million a year, you'd probably be traded in the next couple of days. What do you guys make of this statement from Vincent Taylor, the agent of Trent Williams? He says it is time to trade his client. We've been quiet, but apparently that doesn't work, and we need to ruffle some feathers. 800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067. As we continue, the Redskins have a new quarterback to back up Dwayne Haskins. They have finally cut Monte Nicholson. They gave up Quentin Dunbar for very little. And Dave Jagler's on the show today to announce himself doing a chore at home like Joe Beninati did yesterday. You are listening to The Fan. Is The Fan, Trent Williams agent Vincent Taylor, right at the top of the hour, at the start of the show today, comes out with a statement saying that it is time to release or cut or trade Trent Williams. One way or the other, his client is ready to move on. And he basically said, Danny, look, we've been very quiet. Didn't acknowledge when Trent Williams was speaking through surrogates or when Trent Williams was doing interviews with Craig Hoffman and other people at one point in time about how unhappy he was, or when he sounded off in the locker room when he did come back to Ashburn last year. But he said, by and large, Trent Williams has taken the high road, and that's gotten him nowhere. Apparently, if you don't take the high road, if you take the low road, like Quentin Dunbar did, and I'm paraphrasing here, that'll get you traded pretty quickly. So here we are. We want out. We're making this very public. We're going to become a nuisance to you now until you get rid of Trent Williams. That's where we are. The statement saying, trade this guy. Here's the problem. You can't just give him up for nothing. I'm still frustrated, and we'll get into this later on in more detail, with the trade yesterday of Quentin Dunbar, because I cannot believe you gave up a real valuable commodity who's a quality cornerback for nothing, just because you were annoyed by how he was handling himself this offseason. But if you want to do that with Dunbar, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I will lose a lot of Z's if you just give Trent Williams up for some late-round pick that turns into a linebacker that never makes your team.
Especially because it could have been a first-rounder at one point last year. And again,
Don't remind me.
You can't do this without remembering the context of how it could have been, whether it was Cleveland helping San Francisco out and Kyle Shanahan and company, whatever. The point was the value has steadily gone down, and we're here because of the previous regime. We know that. We've celebrated at their demise, and rightfully so, and thank goodness that boob was no longer running this team. Now we're here, okay? Forget about how we got here for a moment. We should always remember it, but for the sake of argument, forget about how we got here. We're here now, and the latest difficulty in having Trent Williams still on the roster is now a Trent problem. This is now a Trent and his camp, his agent, whoever's advising him, etc. And I get it. You're trying to maximize what your client gets. You're trying to maximize what you get. The unrealistic expectations have watered down the market. There's already uncertainty for a guy that didn't play last year, that's had a ton of injuries, that had this cancer scare, that's had off-field issues, where the Redskins stood by him without question. And you are the leader. You're the guy. We're going to stand by you throughout all of this stuff. Rewarded you with a handsome contract years ago. I get it. You don't want to play without guaranteed money on the last year of your deal. You'd like some financial security. We're in an impasse. That's a reasonable thing to have happen in this sport that's governed by a salary cap. The fact is, the demands that have been leaked, the agitation, the way this has all been handled has lowered the market. Acknowledge that. You're putting a house for sale and you're calling it a $10 million house. The market says five and you say, nope, it's 10. It ain't. I'm sorry, it ain't. The Redskins shouldn't be giving Trent Williams away. I'm 100% with you.
They just can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean they can't trade him, because I think that one way or the other, they probably have to do that. And if it means caving in the end and dealing him for something you don't want to, I guess that has to be the resolution. But I am waiting until close to the start of the season for that, or maybe honestly even into the season. And if Trent Williams doesn't want to show up again, okay, pal, don't show up. By the way, that new CBA that you and your player friends just ratified makes it really easy for me to dock you $40,000 a day. And by the way, you still owe me all the money from last time, and you're going to pay every penny of it. I was Team Trent Williams. I really was.
Same here.
Last season. I thought he was, in a lot of ways, medically wronged. I mean, I had a lot of intel from one of his buddies dating back to months and months and months before everything broke about, you know, the cancer and all these things, and he was scared for his life. And in some ways, I felt like he was a victim. And then all of a sudden, you start to hear more about wanting a contract. And I'm going, well, wait a second. If you want a contract, then this isn't just about the medical stuff, is it? Then they get rid of Larry Hess, who's the guy that you have spoken and voiced publicly you don't trust. They changed the training staff. They bring in Ryan Vermillion, I believe is his name, from the Carolina Panthers and his entire staff. The head coach, the assistants, they're all gone. This is a new staff now. This is a largely new front office. The guy that you couldn't stand, Bruce Allen, who you made the bad guy, because we all knew he was the bad guy, and everyone agreed with you, he is gone. But nothing has changed with you other than that you want to be paid and you want out. I'm good on you, man. I'm call me Ron Rivera on Quentin Dunbar. I am ready to move on. Now I just needed someone to give me a decent package back for you. The problem is, and Ian Rappaport has made this point several times over the last few days on TV, generally the compensation, what a team is giving up to the other team, and the contract demands are kind of in line, meaning if I'm bringing a player in and paying him $20 million, I don't have to give up a lot to get him. Like, I'll give up something very minimal, and then I'm going to give this guy a fat extension. In this case, I have to give up something good to get you, because the Redskins have all the leverage, and you're asking me for $20 million. And that's where a team like the Browns just doesn't want to play that game. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. James is in King George on Grant and Danny. James, what do you make of the demands today of Trent Williams' agent to get a trade done after yesterday the team moved on from Quentin Dunbar in a similar situation?
Well, it brings me back to my point that from the start with the Trent Williams thing, that this was 90% all about getting more money. Now we come back with his agent, you know, with these so-called, you know, we try to facilitate a trade. Or what about if Trent wants to leave so bad, why don't you lower your salary demand to facilitate that trade? Maybe the next team will offer a higher draft choice to get you out of D.C. But, you know, you can't 100%. Have it both ways.
100%.
Yeah, you know, can't have it both ways. So, you know, that's my comment on that. So the whole time it was always a money grab. You know, it was always a money grab from the jump street. So
appreciate you, buddy.
You can't pick where everybody eats and then not pay your way, right? I mean, generally, if you invite someone to dinner, you got to pay. What he's doing is he's basically saying, Danny, I need you to trade me. And, in fact, not only do I need you to trade me, you have to trade me. But I'm going to make it really hard for you to get anything back from me by expecting this amount of money. And if I'm the Redskins, and I'm asking, just say, the Chargers, for them to take on a guy they've got to sign for a ridiculous amount of cash, they're not also just going to hand over all their draft picks to do it.
Just
so you've got to help me help you here, dude.
Just because the Cowboys were stupid and traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, then had to turn around and pay him $20 million a year, doesn't mean everybody's going to do it. Just because the Texans are dumb and they gave up one of the best receivers in the game because they had a complicated conversation with him and Bill O'Brien, doesn't mean that everybody gets to unload their worst contract, a.k.a. David Johnson, and like a fifth-round pick for one of the best players in the sport. Just because a couple people are stupid doesn't mean that everybody is. So as you point to these examples and you're Trent Williams' agent, that's adorable. That's cute. Understand this is a different situation. This is a fascinating thing. I know some people were fed up with Trent from the beginning on this, GP, and I kind of wasn't in line with that initially because we had a ready-made villain in Bruce Allen and the Redskins, and we had all their injuries and the IR trips and the training staff wasn't very well thought of, and everybody kind of knew that, right? So it was very easy to side with Trent, and I certainly did. I'm wondering, is there anybody left that's going, yeah, Trent, you got it. This is the way you should handle yourself. I mean, what a precipitous
that's
fall
a good
point. From grace, right, for a guy that was as beloved the Redskin, and rightfully so, by the way. I mean, the stories that would leak out or that the people would tell of, you know, he's walking with a cane on Friday and is, you know, knocking DeMarcus Lawrence into the dirt on Sunday. He was amazing, a great Redskin.
Yeah,
this
one of my favorite Redskins ever.
Yeah,
and honestly, the guy that I think I was most impressed by and just probably enjoyed covering the most in terms of his toughness and his mentality and watching his maturation and growth. Honestly, my first year on the beat was his first year in the league. You know, I saw him get popped for marijuana, and I saw him become a leader, and I saw him start to step up and speak with the media after tough games and tough events. I really enjoyed watching him grow up. I had a really good relationship with him. So it's not fun for me sitting here doing this either, but, yeah, the bottom line is, I mean, at some point, he's going to have to look in the mirror and say, all the guys that I didn't like are gone. That's why supposedly I wanted out of Washington. Now they've got an entirely new staff trying to welcome me with open arms. And because they're not going to pay me top-of-the-league money when I'm under contract already, I'm holding out. But I'm going to also demand a trade while not lowering my demands for another team. JJ just said on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, he said, Grant, can you explain why these guys love Snyder so much, yet are so disgusted by the franchise? They do not see a connection. In the case of Williams, this is very simple. Dan Snyder kind of stepped in as the intermediary between he and Bruce Allen and Larry Hess. And essentially, on the player's side, which is what he does in undercutting people from time to time, he, and this is one of those good Dan Snyder stories, he may have saved Trent Williams' life if you ask Trent Williams. He got him a second opinion. He flew him, I think, on his own personal plane to Chicago to go get looked at, where they found out, from what I was told, and this is just via a friend of Trent Williams, essentially that he found out that he needed to get operated on and that something was going on he didn't know about. And so he will, for that reason, I think, always be indebted to Dan Snyder, and that is why you will hear nothing but positive things about Dan from Trent, because he's not one of the bad guys as far as Williams is concerned. He was there when he got drafted. He was there when he got paid. He was there when he got paid again.
Yeah, all the money that Dan Snyder pays these guys, and he's their buddy. Remember, he doesn't do what executives are supposed to do and maintain a distance. Yeah, they're best friends. Everybody's having dinner together. They're going on the big yacht. I mean, that's why the players love him in time. Now, you can ask some of the guys that he screwed over if he likes them or not, but for the guys that, you know, received a whole bunch of commas in their paycheck for years and were treated great because Dan Snyder is desperate for friends, they love Dan.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next hour, two teams in sports are cutting the pay of their employees and asking them to work four-day weeks. We can get into that. Plus, another team is sending pizzas to a local hospital. So we'll kind of go around sports during the coronavirus. How are folks holding up in the sports landscape? But next, the Redskins did trade for a quarterback. The QB room might be set at this point. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan. I had to watch a Star Wars movie.
My greatest accomplishment.
It was an accomplishment for sure. I've got thoughts. In fact, I wrote down, I think it's like 16 notes on the movie that I want to bounce off you.
I love it.
So I can't wait to read those to you live on the air at 12:45. Just observations that I made basically on different plot points and things going on. I can't believe it's happening, but we will be discussing Star Wars A New Hope today.
Amazing.
In the Grant and Danny Movie Club. And then I guess it's my turn to provide a list for you, right?
Absolutely. And I fully expect to be watching Fat Angels at the Hockey Ducks or whatever. I mean,
Angels at the Hockey Ducks?
Well, it's all the combo of the terrible movies that you regularly reference and quote and, you know, stuff that's for kids. I fully expect to be, you know, bamboozled into watching Emilio Estevez coach Angels in the outfield. I am ready for it. I will deal with it. Anything you do to me is a small price to pay for forcing you to watch the most important movie made in the last 40 years.
Make sure you're listening at 12:45. By the way, today the return of uninformed experts. Many
excited
of you guys have been asking for uninformed experts to come back on Grant and Danny. No time like the present. You'll call us. You'll ask us things about subjects we know nothing about. You need some advice on how to fix your car engine, or perhaps you want one of us to advise you on your 401k or how to bake some kind of a weird, delicious treat that we haven't heard of. We're going to very authoritatively give you advice. We call it uninformed experts, and we will do that today at 11:30.
Looking
I want to get into Kyle Allen, though, Danny. You and I have speculated for days what the Redskins might do at the quarterback position. They had to get creative is kind of how we saw this at this point. I mean, most of the guys that you thought might be able to compete with Dwayne Haskins were off the market. I had assumed they were just now going to go the route of a Matt Moore type. I didn't really see trading a draft pick for a QB as all that viable or that good of an idea. They traded for Kyle Allen of the Carolina Panthers. I understand why they did this. And I think there's a lot of things they like about Kyle Allen. There are plenty of reasons, and I can go through all of them, why this made some sense to me. That having been said, a fifth-round pick for Kyle Allen is a question that I think Redskins fans have been scratching their heads about since yesterday afternoon. Did you give up too much? This is a backup quarterback. Generally, when you trade your number one cornerback for the same thing you gave up to get a backup quarterback, one of those things was a mistake, right?
Yeah.
That value isn't necessarily dollar in, dollar out. Here's what they liked about him, by the way. So first and foremost, he's super cheap. Less than $700,000 against their cap. Remember, they're paying $21 million in cap space to Alex Smith, so you couldn't bring someone in who made a lot of money. He checks that box. Even though people can't seem to grasp this yet, he is under contract for 3 years. I know that whatever website you use to look up his contract only shows one season. He was an undrafted free agent in 2018. He has one accrued season. Until he gets to four accrued seasons, the team has the ability to keep him and tender him as a restricted free agent. So they have 3 years of team control of Kyle Allen, which I was told by a team official was really important in bringing him in. And they're also expecting a very quirky and odd offseason where there's not going to be a lot of time on the grass and there's not going to be an ability to get anybody up to speed in this offense like they normally have. So what better way to bring someone in to be a backup than someone who already knows the offense, somewhat expert in the way Scott Turner thinks and knows Ron Rivera's culture, than Kyle Allen, who's been with them for the last 2 years. So those are the reasons why they liked Kyle Allen. I don't think he's good enough to push Dwayne Haskins necessarily. I think this is specifically a backup, but a really cheap one. He is 24. He does have upside. He had some good games before he fell apart in the second half of last season as a starter. That's what they liked about him. Your thoughts on bringing in Kyle Allen for a fifth-round pick?
Oh, boy, did I hate this. Oh, did I hate it. And of course, I caught some flack, or Joe Flacco, if you will, on the Twitterverse. I'm at Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. There are a number of reasons why I hate it. Number one, this guy was about to be cut. They just brought in P.J. Walker. They brought in a new regime. So you could have had him without giving up a draft pick. Teams that are rebuilding should not be giving up draft picks. Last year at this point, when they had nobody They traded a sixth rounder for Case Keenum. That was in case they couldn't get a quarterback in the draft, right? That was smart. That was an insurance policy. This, the selling point, as you just correctly alluded to, is he knows the offense. Okay, let's delve into that for a second. I don't care what he knows. I don't care. The point of having of saying he knows the offense means if he has to play, we'll be okay. Okay for what? This is a Dwayne Haskins season. If he can't play, I don't care about anybody else. I don't care. If you think he can, he knows the offense can come in and play, that means you'd like him to be your starter. That means you'd like to be able to implement something. How many people do you need to be veteran mentors to Dwayne Haskins? If he needs an army of people, he ain't the guy. Alex Smith is already in the building. You have professional coaches, quarterback room, the QB coach, offensive coordinator, whomever, to be able to teach this kid the playbook, just like every other quarterback and every other system in the whole world. How does each player also have to have a mentor player? Does every cornerback have to have a mentor cornerback that played in the coach's system before to be able to execute the coverage? Same with safety. You only have 53 guys on the roster.
No, but you know that quarterback's a little different, and in a room, Alex Smith is not around as much as you'd like because of rehab. He's not on the field helping you do the things that Dwayne Haskins is going to have to do. And if you're learning a new offense for the second time in 2 years, it cannot hurt to have someone who can answer your questions who also plays the position.
It can't hurt. But again, you could have gotten this guy in free agency in a moment after he was cut, in all likelihood. You can also get another guy who is a veteran who has been around this league for money. You do this because, A, again, he knows the system, when you play that, it means you're not worried about him when he plays. I don't want him to play. I don't care about him playing. He stinks. Then the other part of this, though, GP, is the money-saving angle. They spent a fifth-rounder to not spend salary cap space. I think that's the bigger draw here, right? You got a guy that's incredibly affordable on a undrafted free agent rookie deal, and it's not going to cost you anything with the salary cap. I don't care about trading away picks right now for salary cap space. What are you going to do with that salary cap space? Right now, nothing. Now, maybe down the line it buys you some leverage. But
yeah, next year, the year after, potentially, if you keep him after that. I mean, some teams around the league are now spending over $10 million a year on a backup quarterback. I mean,
absolutely.
You say he's terrible. And look, I don't think he's particularly good. I'm not going to stand on the table for Kyle Allen, who had a touchdown and six picks in his final three games last year. But he's 24 years old. He was an undrafted free agent playing on a bad team last year, and he had a four-touchdown, no-pick game where he threw for 261 yards. He had a two-touchdown, no-pick game where he threw for 240 and a 37-point output and a win against Tampa Bay. He had a three-touchdown, no-pick game where he threw for 256 against the New Orleans Saints on the road in the Superdome where he lost a shootout last year. Like, you could do a lot worse at 24 years old in your first experience on a crap team than he did last year. So I'm not going to go as far as to say he's terrible. I don't hate this nearly as much as you do. But is your issue that you think Allen is no good, or is your issue that you don't think giving up a fifth-round pick for a backup was a good idea?
All of the above, because you could have gotten the visor tier, the A.J. McCarron visor tier of clipboard holder at any time. You could have just spent a little bit of money and done that. You should not be giving up draft picks. That's one. Number two, I think Allen's way worse than you do. This was, you know, a couple nice moments to not a decent quarterback make. I have no interest in watching that guy play at any point in time. If it's not Dwayne Haskins, it needs to be because Dwayne Haskins is hurt, and in which case you can plug in the Josh Johnson visor tier and, you know, play out your season. I don't care about Kyle Allen maybe squeezing out that fifth win. This is a little bit of a bridge too far for me. So, in other words, this to save this money that they're going to use going forward in future years, I think you could have had a marginal, a little bit more money to some backup jag, the Chase Daniels school of quarterbacking, still have plenty of money to do whatever you want once you get out of this Alex Smith situation moving into next year. The confidence in saying Kyle Allen knows the system, the only way that matters to me is if he ends up having to play for some reason. I have no interest in that part.
Where I disagree with you completely. And we'll open up the phones, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. But knowing the offense doesn't only matter if he plays. Knowing the offense helps immensely as it pertains to being in the room with Dwayne Haskins, as it pertains to answering Haskins' questions when Alex Smith is not there to do so, as you've seen over the last couple of seasons. He's not around nearly as much as he was before. So I think you're basically bringing in a guy who is something of a quarterback coach in the room with Haskins, who, oh, by the way, he's not 30. You know what A.J. McCarron is. He stinks. Kyle Allen might stink, but he also showed in limited capacity last year. He basically had, you know, Kirk Cousins-ish results in Cousins' first year on the field, and people were ranting just like you are right now about how terrible he was before he got his opportunity. I'm not sitting here telling you that Kyle Allen is good. I'm not trying to do that. I'm kind of devil's advocating how bad you think he is. But what I would say is this. This coaching staff brought in a quarterback, the most important position in football, who they deem someone who can operate their offense, and they gave up a fifth-round pick to do it. Not that big of a deal to me. I don't love trading a draft pick when you could have just spent a little bit of money, but I understand if their point is he could end up being better than people think he is ultimately, then he's more interesting than A.J. McCarron. I will tell you that texting with people with the team yesterday, there was no talk about him really competing for the job. There was no talk about him playing. They basically said he's going to be a good backup for a few seasons, and that was worthy of the fifth-round pick. What did you guys make of the trade for Kyle Allen? 800-636-1067 is the question, and that's the number on Grant and Danny. The Carolina Panthers releasing Cam Newton. Thanks to Pete for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. It's always crazy to me, and I get how we got here with all the injuries for Cam Newton. When a guy who's as big a star and as valuable a player and as unbelievable a talent as he is ends up walking, you know, a couple of years after he was excellent for no compensation.
Yeah.
Like, they amazing. Couldn't find a single taker at that contract, and now they have to cut Cam Newton. He threw for 4,000 yards and had 35 combined touchdowns as a rookie in 2011. 21 passing and 14 rushing. I mean, he was a legit game changer, Danny. His rushing yards by season, 700, 740, 580, 540, 640. Rushed for 750 in 2017. He's thrown for 4,000 yards in the past, not since his rookie season, obviously. But that 2015 year was unbelievable when he had 3,800 passing yards, 35 passing touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns. He was the MVP, got him to the Super Bowl. I've never loved him as a quarterback. I've always thought he was one of the best playmakers and one of the best football players in the game.
Well, I hate some of the terms I'm about to use, but it was throwback style, right? It was back to the day when the quarterback was the best athlete on the field, and you had to respect all of it. And if you want someone to drop back, pat the football, and you know, and be short and accurate, he's not your guy. If you want to do the terrifies defenses because you don't know what he's going to do, that was your guy. Like, that was a weapon. He was the best goal line back in the sport at, you know, 6'6 and 250 pounds, who was more athletic than most people. I mean, he was a power back, and that just took over the course of the years, right? The amount of hits that he took, both legal and illegal. I mean, he's just such a massive dude.
He took a beating.
Yeah, that sometimes, you know, these hits that would have gotten called on smaller or, you know, noodle-sized quarterbacks that looked gruesome, in real time didn't look as bad because Cam Newton is such a specimen. He's so massive. But I think those really, really did take their toll. You're right, man. It's just so quickly how, and unforgiving, how sports changes, man. I mean, you think about a guy who was a star just a couple years ago, and the next thing you know, he's out of the sport or whatever. I mean, the list is long. I mean, think about guys in the NBA. That's not even a fraction of the contact that these dudes endure. I mean, I was watching something the other night about how great Brandon Roy was. Remember, Brandon Roy was a star before, and the next thing you know, out of the sport, just gone. I mean, the attrition rate, especially in a league like this, is so high. I mean, Travis Frederick retired yesterday, right? I mean, just it's so fast and rapid.
29, by the way.
Yeah, it just how this game ages guys, just in terms of ability, is staggering.
The Patriots, currently with Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham, now have a choice if they want to make a play at quarterback for Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, or Andy Dalton. I mean, you could do a lot worse than those three guys over the last several years. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. More on the available quarterbacks later in the show. But let's get to the phones at 800-636-1067, talking about Kyle Allen. He's 24 years old. He played for Carolina last year, and in fact, he got off to such a strong start with the Panthers in his initial days as a starter. You may remember that people were saying, okay, is there any way he could be their starter of the future? Now, he flamed out in dramatic fashion under Scott Turner in December with a touchdown and six picks in the I guess it was two touchdowns and six picks, to be fair to him, in the final three games and 4 weeks of the season. But, you know, you go back to when they beat the Redskins and he had a couple of touchdowns and threw for 280 yards. And the week before that, three touches and no interceptions against the Saints. There were some really good games. There were some terrible games, as you'd expect, for an undrafted free agent playing on a team that was destined for last place. But he showed some good football, and the Redskins saw enough Ron Rivera and Scott Turner having worked with him, that they flipped a fifth-round pick to bring him in as a backup. I guess if I have a frustration with this, it is that if I was trading a fifth-round pick for someone to come in, that guy needs to be able to compete with Dwayne Haskins for me, or at least push him, make him look over his shoulder. And I don't know that Kyle Allen is good enough to do that. When I ask someone with the team, is that the plan? Do you think that he is good enough to maybe give Dwayne kind of a little more motivation? Their point was, no, we think he's a really good backup long-term on the cheap. We like that about him. And that's kind of where they are.
Let's go to Rob.
Go ahead. What's that?
No, I was just going to say that's my frustration. We shouldn't be giving up draft picks at this stage. For a guy that was going to get cut, it would have cost you a little bit more in free agency. But I don't care about a little bit of cost at this point. I do care about giving up a draft pick for a guy that you don't think is going to compete.
I'd agree with you if it was a fourth-round pick or higher. I think, to me, the difference between a fifth-round pick and a sixth- or a seventh-round pick is just not that huge. It's not like they don't matter at all to me. I would prefer to keep fifth-round picks. But it's why I'm so mad about Dunbar, and I will get into that a little bit later today. Fifth-round picks are a big, fat, nothing burger with cheese and bacon. I mean, they hit about probably 15% of the time in terms of being real high-end long-term players. Let's go to Rob in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Your thoughts on bringing in Kyle Allen to back up Dwayne Haskins yesterday.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy?
Good.
I'm with you on this one, Danny. I mean, you know, I've been a Redskin fan 50 plus years, I would say. You just get tired of the nonsense, the incompetence. We went through that with the previous regime up top. I mean, of course, Dan's not his owner, but, you know, it's just that the management part of it, the decisions that's being made, it just stunted this team's growth, you know, over the last 20 years. And I get Ron Rivera just coming in, and you're starting to see some of the same symptoms. I mean, why would you give up a fifth-round pick for a guy that they was going to cut anyway? I mean, you look back last year with the Alex Smith trade, you gave up your best corner, in my opinion, Kendall Fuller, to get a guy that was 38, 36, or however old he was. I mean, it's just the decisions that they're making that's stunting the team growth. And you get sick and tired of the same thing, you know, over and over every year. Now, you need, of course, Ron Rivera just coming in. You want to build your draft picks to build your team. He's not going to win next year. So what's the urgency trying to find a backup quarterback? That should be the last thing. Where's the urgency for the offensive line?
You know, well, thanks for the call. You had me until you started acting like it's not important to have another quarterback on the roster than Dwayne Haskins, because it's of utmost importance. It's vital and it's pivotal. I would have thought, based on everything Rivera said all offseason, they were actually going to bring someone in to compete with Haskins. But after, essentially, he had six really good quarters last year and you have no one else on your roster, they had to bring in a QB. So you lost me there at the end. I think you made some really good points otherwise. The one thing I'll say, and I heard you say this, Danny, and he's now said this, this quote, this definitive, they were going to cut him anyway. How does everyone know that? Will Greer showed nothing last year. Absolutely nothing. Kyle Allen showed a good bit last year. Oh, by the way, for 3 years is available on almost the minimum on the new CBA. The notion that they were just unequivocally going to cut a guy who played at the level he did in some of their wins last season, who they have to pay nothing to, who they've spent multiple years grooming, I don't know. Unless people have some inside intel that I'm not privy to, maybe they would have cut him. And then if they did, maybe you would have had to bid against a couple other teams to pay him, you know, 1.5 or 1.8 million instead of the 600 some thousand that he's going to be making. But I don't know. I must have missed the memo on Kyle Allen absolutely getting cut after they just re-signed him in March.
So I didn't see it definitively, obviously, but they signed PJ Walker, and that sounded like it was part of the plan. New coaching staff, new regime. Nobody cares about the minimal deposits that Kyle Allen had in the bank, a guy who was benched down the stretch for Will Greer, who they drafted the year before. So it looked that way. You're right. There's nothing definitive that I saw necessarily. Just kind of reading the tea leaves that he would certainly be the odd man out here with the new regime and some of the new guys, the new faces.
A regime
in the quarterback
that gave
room.
Him a raise this offseason. Will Greer played one game, threw four picks and no touchdowns, and had a 33 rating. I don't know, man. They didn't draft him either. If you're looking at the film from last year and you're Matt Rhule and you got to take one of those two guys to keep on your roster, Greer, who makes more money, or Kyle Allen, who makes no money and played a lot better? I don't know why they were definitely going to cut him. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Kyle Allen is the Redskins' new backup quarterback. We're taking your calls on Grant and Danny early next hour. We'll also be joined by Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.